come to closure. With sort of interim retrospect, it seems as if you had an almost ideal education for what you turned out to do. But what would you do differently about that background if you were doing it over?
You mean my educational background?
Well, you've got them. If you go all the way right through to the PhD.
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, if people had let me go on the course that I had originally tried to do, I would have stayed at Hopkins. Dr. Larkey would have kept me on, and I would have got my PhD in the history of science. I started out there. I took courses at Hopkins. And, I was fascinated by the history of science. And, maybe I was inherently basically an engineer all along. I mean, the fact that I went into engineering in the beginning, build a better mousetrap, that was in me, maybe. I've made some contributions to the theory of my field, but I don't think of myself as a theoretician that much. As a matter of fact, it made me think about, I once did an invention called radio retrieval, which I think you would eventually see as the antecedent of parallel processors. And some other time I can tell you about it. There was a case where I didn't have enough. It was so outrageous an idea that I was afraid to tell anybody about it, so to speak. It turns out to be a fantastic field, right? Parallel processing. So, I guess about the education thing, it's hard for me to say. I sort of like teaching. I did teach at Penn regularly for a few years, but I didn't have enough time to do it right because I always felt a little ashamed in front of the students. I always thought that they were looking at me like I was like covering up my gaps in my knowledge or something. I don't know, it was a strange feeling. And I don't know how teachers get over that these days, because every day goes by, they're more and more obsolete. But I guess you have to learn to pull that off. I mean, it's just an approach. Or maybe it was the kind of people I was getting there. I wanted to teach at the Annenberg School. And George Gerbner, bless his soul, who I see regularly now, he wanted me to submit a proposal over there to do a program in scientific communication and retrieval, which, I mean, how could I possibly have done that in the time that I had available? I was offered the deanship at Drexel years ago. Can you believe the guy wanted me to leave my company? And I told him, I said, one of the best, most respected people I know is the chairman of a department at Stanford, and his vice president of research at Syntex, and that was Carl Jurassic. So I said, isn't it good enough for you that I'm willing to take on the assignment of being the dean of the goddamn school? You want me to give up my company? That'd be crazy. So, never happened. But I think that a lot of people underestimate what you can do. And I might not have done the other as well, that's all. The limit, everybody has his limitations.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Gene. We're going to come back in 25 years to check what you've done at the next stage.
Yeah, well, there was a time when I thought that we would have a way to delay the aging process.
No, you'll just be Arnold Beckman's age in 25 years.
Is that his age now?
He's going...
How old is he?
Strong. We got that.
He's 88?
87,
87, 87.
Wow.
Going on 88. Yeah, okay. Fantastic. You going to be at the Franklin Institute?
Yeah.
We're thinking hard about trying to get there. So, that's a very nice thought. I appreciate that thought. I'd be very happy to confirm that.
Good. Yeah. Well, it's a date. Okay.
Yeah, that's a very, very pleasant way to end the day. I'll tell that to my wife. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
That's okay. All right.